Pitcairn. Volcanic rocky islands halfway between New Zealand and Peru, with a population of, I think, around about 60, mostly famous, of course, for the Mutiny of the Bounty and the mutineers who settled the islands way back in 1790. But Simon Young created fresh news last year when he became the first non-Pitcairn-born person to be elected as Pitcairn's mayor, and he's on the line with us now from Pitcairn. Kia ora, good morning, Simon.
Yeah, good morning to you, Colin. A great pleasure to speak with you and welcome remotely to Pitcairn Island.
And a little delay on the line. We'll try and adapt to that and the listeners can tune in. I'll leave a little beat as I speak to you and see if we can... because actually, is it true that you're on an 09 phone code? If people call you up, it's actually like calling Auckland or the north of New Zealand?
A local number.
Extraordinary.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, we have to be linked to somewhere, and we do have a fairly strong history with New Zealand, and so the phone system is run through the Auckland numbers.
Extraordinary.
Works very well.
Are you talking to us from, is it Adamstown? Is that the beating heart of the nation's capital in Pitcairn?
Absolutely. I'm in the CBD of Pitcairn Island. Yes, the main square, but there's only myself here at the moment. But I wish the population was quite as high as 60. But no, at the moment, it's 46 people on the island right this moment, Colin.
46, I overestimate. So it's going down.
Oh, well, I think it all depends on what number you look at. You know, tomorrow it might be 50. And on Monday it will be considerably more. We have a cruise ship coming in and suddenly we'll be 250 people will be setting foot onto our beautiful island. So hopefully it won't sink with all that people.
Extraordinary. Okay, but we congratulated you as mayor, but it wasn't the first time you stood, wasn't it? But was it a barrier not being a Pitcairn? I mean, clearly you got in this time, but was it a problem before when you stood and perhaps didn't succeed?
Well, I think it's a barrier. Thank you for the congratulations, by the way. But I think it's a barrier in the sense that we're so small in number and that the history of the island is that there are family units on the island, and therefore somebody who's born and raised here is simply more likely to be voted in because family do tend to vote for family members. And I understand that perfectly. But I was very honoured and very happy to be elected in. And yes, I've stood before, but the planets aligned and it happened. So I've been in now 14, 15 months. So, yes.
What was your margin of victory, if I may ask?
Oh, it was huge. It must have been at least three people.
At least three. So 19-16, was it the final result?
Yes. Yes, that was the final result, 19-16. Yes, it's... I mean, you can look at the statistics and you go, yes, three's a nice margin to have won by. I certainly came very close one year. This is going back a few years now, and it was a tie. And so we had to redo the election, and it was a tie again. And then the third time, I lost by a single vote. So it happens.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I should be taking this with democracy as a serious business. And apologise for making light of it. But that's pretty funny, having a tie twice. And then, but this time winning by romping in by three votes. I think that's pretty good. Do you get, I'm just wondering what kind of job it is to be the mayor of a place with under 50 permanent inhabitants. Do you have fancy mayoral chains or a special hat or maybe even better perks like a good office and a limo, that sort of thing?
Oh goodness, I think I'll get you here to the island, Colin, and promote those ideas. They sound fantastic, but no, none of that. No mayoral chains, no vehicle. But what I do have is quite a significant amount of responsibility that comes with the job. And the job immediately splits into another five jobs, which is the chief immigration officer, the president of the council, the president of the land court, the chief executive officer, and the harbour master. And so, and we all have this on the island. So there are so few of us, but the infrastructure remains the same as if we had had 5,000 people in a town or a government running. And so there's a great many hats that lots of folk wear.
So all those things are your job, effectively. You must have like a very long business card to get all that on there as long as a mayor.
Yeah, I've simplified it. I just go for the mayor, but yeah, it just splits into all of these different roles depending on what's happening on the day. So I mentioned earlier that on Monday we have the cruise ship coming, so I'll be putting on the mayor hat, and I'll also be putting on the chief immigration officer hat, and I'll also be putting on the harbour master hat. But we're all susceptible to this on the island. It's just the nature of how Pitcairn has to operate with so few people and the same infrastructure that exists all over the world.
A couple of questions from our listeners, actually, Simon. Can you ask Simon why we are no longer getting Pitcairn Island dried bananas in New Zealand? I miss them. They were the best dried bananas ever.
They were the best. I agree. Yeah, no, we've struggling to. I think it's just the biosecurity regulations have tightened up, unfortunately, not from Pitcairn's perspective in terms of exporting them, but in terms of importing them into New Zealand. And I think that's across the globe, isn't it? That these have become quite more, a bit more red tape, a bit more restrictive. And unfortunately, it's affected that little market. We do export honey all the way around the world, which is very successful and is very helpful in providing a little cottage industry for locals on the island, in addition to the government jobs that we have, and in addition to the roles that we then have when we have a cruise ship here.
Arthur Tompkins has been in touch saying, I visited Pitcairn a few years back and met Simon. Say hi from me. So that's hi from Arthur. Do you remember him?
I'm going to say yes, I actually think I do, but there's so many people that I meet, and I feel
Oh, you have
I feel
whole
I've
cruise
seen
ships
such
full of
looks
turning
of
up. We couldn't
horror
expect that you'd remember one New Zealander. It's very
for
unfair of us.
Oh, but it does happen. I was having a lovely lunch with somebody in London last year, and clearly they had been to Pitcairn, and I just hadn't recognised the fact that they had been like three times before, and I'd met them three times before. So I felt dreadful that I couldn't remember them. But I do meet an awful lot of people.
Sure. And Merle has been in touch to say that Simon sounds uncannily like me. Do you think so?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not gonna, yeah, I'm not certain on
Get your ears tested, Merle. I don't think so either. But seeing as we've established
that
that you are not a Pitcairner, which makes you stand out a bit on Pitcairn, very close-knit place. What was it that took you there? Because you're a Yorkshireman initially, aren't you?
I am from Yorkshire originally. That's right. Historical interest, because it is one of the British Overseas Territories. So there's about 13 British Overseas Territories with a permanent population. So I knew about these, and I'd always been drawn to these very small and isolated places, which most of the British Overseas Territories are. And it was a quirk of fate. I managed to visit here back in 1992, 30 years ago. A very, very different island back then. No tourism to speak of. So we progressed dramatically since then in terms of tourism and communications and our connectivity with the outside world. So massive inroads in this very short period. And I revisited back in 2000 with then my wife, who is American, and we loved what we saw, and we ended up staying.
Another question for you, Simon, from our listeners. What do you do about healthcare? Do you have a local doctor among your 50-odd population?
Yes, very good question. Very good question. We do. We have a few external contractors who we bring in. The doctor is one of those. We also have a local nurse. So of those 46 people, one of us is a local nurse. So Darilyn, she does a great job. But we also have a doctor who comes in on a contract, and we have a health centre. And it's your accessibility to a doctor is probably second to none in many regards. However, the downside, as always, there's always a downside. Pitcairn's extraordinarily isolated, and should there be a emergency catastrophe, then we're in trouble. And we acknowledge that is a limitation of Pitcairn, but we do our very best, and we will do our best to expedite an evacuation to Mangareva. It's 300 miles away. It's the last of the French Polynesian islands. And from there's a weekly flight, but we can bring that forward in an emergency to get them to Papeete to a hospital.
So I guess that partly answers my next question, which was, although you say you love these far-flung places and you like the isolation, it attracted you there. It must be time, Simon, surely, when it just feels a bit small and you want to go somewhere else. But I guess you really have to plan for that, right? You can't just get up and go on a whim and take a city break somewhere, can you, and then pop back again?
No, you're absolutely right. You can't. And no, I've never felt that way. I honestly haven't. I absolutely adore the isolation. And and this may sound peculiar to you, but my wife and I, we do get away from it all by simply traveling a good 1 mile to go over to the other side of the island where there is a small beach and there's nobody ever there. And we will hang out that day and get a little fire going, cook some fish, catch some fish, eat some fish, and we will relax and recharge our batteries. I know that sounds peculiar in such a small island, only 2 miles by one, but you can do that. And I don't tire of the isolation at all. And I think everybody who lives here feels that same way. You're right, though, you can plan to go off island and it takes quite a bit of energy. But we do have a dedicated supply ship and that brings in tourists. And so it gives in a regimented structure for us to plan and to go off island if we need to. Most people who go off island, in fairness, it's either to attend a meeting that's important to our development, or it's to go off for further medical treatment.
Well, as we mentioned, Pitcairn is famous for the Bounty and all that history that led to the island settlement. But also in the early 2000s, there was, of course, big headlines created by the trials of several men, the prosecutions of several men on the island for historic sexual offending. This is the early 2000s that took place. Of course, that's another link with New Zealand. The New Zealand legal system came into place. Simon Moore, who was what was then a QC, was appointed Pitcairn's public prosecutor for that. I think six men ended up imprisoned for that. It's not that long ago. Does that still have a legacy on island life and things still perhaps recovering a bit from that episode?
I'm not sure I would say recovering anymore. I think there definitely was a time, if we were having this conversation 15 years ago, I would say, yes, absolutely. There was a sense of recovery for the island as a whole, trying to heal from those wounds as an entire community. And we are now, as you said, 2000, so that's 24 years ago. It is a fair amount of time. And we have put in, during that period, massive safeguards to ensure, to the best of our ability, that such an occurrence would never happen again. And we've put in mechanisms to ensure that effectively will pan out. But in terms of the community, I would say that, for the most part, I'd say it's 98% healed in that sense, that we have dealt with it, which is absolutely important in terms of it not being swept under the carpet. The community has dealt with it in terms of the interpersonal relationships that it affected at the time. It's not something that we are discussing on a day-to-day basis, of course, because there's no need, because we're dealing with other important issues that are really threatening the sustainability and our livelihood, which are not connected with that. So in that sense, I would say we've moved forward very much from those. It's not something that I'm adverse to discussing, because it's a question that people do want to discuss and to know about and to be certain that we've dealt with it in a proactive way and that the community has moved forward from it, which we have.
Well, the questions are pouring in from our listeners, pouring in. Everybody wants to know more about Pitcairn. So, for example, if I were to go for a week's holiday to Pitcairn, where could I stay? What would I do? What's the best place to eat? So three questions on there and one there from Chris that kind of echo what a lot of people have been asking us.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Chris, for the questions. I must say, I'm not so good at the multitasking. I wish I'd written those three questions down all at once.
For a week's holiday, where would you stay?
Okay. There are about 13 of the homes that offer accommodation to visitors, and all of this information can be found on our tourism website, our government website, which is, just put in Pitcairn government website or pitcairn.eu. You're going to find it very quickly. And from there's an immediate link to the tourism website. And from there, it gives you a very clear breakdown about how you do it. And it gives you all the shipping schedules and who you can stay with. And so you will find all that information very quickly. Where you can eat. Well, there are a couple of eateries, believe it or not, on the island, but in general terms, when people come for 3 days or 10 days, they just tend to eat with the family that they're actually staying with, because we don't have hostels or hotels, but we do have home stays.
Yeah, the website, I did look it up, and it says under what to bring, it says pack your travel sickness medication. Is that because you have to get it in and away by boat and it can be a bit choppy? In fact, I remember when the New Zealand legal team were going in for those trials all those years ago, there was footage of them kind of white knuckles clutching what looked like a pretty small boat to get it on and off the island.
Yeah, we have longboats. They are the lifeblood of this island, and they're extraordinary pieces of equipment. And yeah, the seasick tablets, obviously no airport here, one harbour, everything comes by the Silver Supporter, which is a designated ship. And then from there, we go out in our longboats and we pick up the passengers. And yeah, it's the 2 days coming in, or 30 hours coming in from French Polynesia, where people can fly into French Polynesia, into the Gambier Islands, and then on they get to our Silver Supporter, which is a very nicely appointed ship. And then 30 hours later, you'll be at Pitcairn. I know that I'm saying it's only 30 hours, but everything becomes relative and it doesn't seem that long. I know when my wife sometimes goes back to New Zealand for medical treatment, she will actually select the longer option, as do many here, which is 14 days basically on board the Silver Supporter when it travels all the way back to New Zealand to pick up our supplies and then goes in at Tauranga.
And places to eat, perhaps the top two or three?
Well, I would say the private homes, because that's where all the good food is. But there is a little pizzeria that Andy's Pizzeria,
Oh,
I think.
it's got
And
to be Pitcairn
there's a
pizzas.
couple of other little. Yeah, we could do that. Domino's doesn't deliver, so I'm sorry about that. But and then we've also got a few other people who occasionally will do meals. For tourists who are visiting. And the other way that we have meals, of course, the best way is when we actually have a public meal, which we have lots of, and the entire community comes together and they each bring a couple of dishes, and then you will just have a smorgasbord of good food.
Sounds excellent. And I'm sort of slightly confused about one thing. The currency. So you've got the 09 Auckland phone code, but also the website seems to say New Zealand dollars in operation in Pitcairn, but also US dollars. But I also see separate websites talking about Pitcairn dollars as well. So are you running three currencies there, Simon? Because that sounds like it might be a bit
Oh,
iffy.
not iffy, and not just three. We take a lot of currencies: Pacific francs, Canadian dollar, but the official currency is the New Zealand dollar, and that's because of the link that we have with New Zealand historically, and we have an administration office, and our suppliers, as I just mentioned, they also come from New Zealand. So officially, it is the New Zealand dollar, but we're about to go out to the cruise ship, or they're coming ashore on Monday. Everything will then be in US dollars. So we're very adaptable.
Another very quick question, Simon. Surfing, any good breaks? Or was it a bit rough for that?
It's too rough is the answer. You only get one chance at your surfing, and before you know it, you'll be on the rocks. So
No,
no surfing.
no surfing. Sorry, listener Brad, no surfing. And just finally, Simon, really enjoyed talking to you again, and we must catch up again. But how long is your term, by the way? When will you be up for re-election and trying to get those 19 votes back? Or more.
3 years. 3 years. So I have two. No, two more. Two more to go, and then I will consider whether I'm going to stand again or just step aside.
And you're not going to announce that today on RNZ National?
I'll wait for that next one, Colin, where we link up a second time.
No.
But no, I haven't honestly decided, Colin. But I think it depends how much good work I do in the next year. That
Okay.
will be my determining factor.
And you've no plans to do anything wild, like, blow the entire island's budget on something like a massive music festival or something like that and bankrupt the place?
No, nothing like that. We've just got Starlink installed this past 2 weeks now. So we're very happy with that development. That's a sort of a game changer for us to get a very reliable communication service going. The next big ticket item that we are literally looking at is we have an engineer here at the moment, marine engineer, and we are looking at replacement of the longboats, which we will ultimately be looking to the British government for funding for as a capital expenditure item. And there's a big ticket item for those boats, but they're very specific to Pitcairn in terms of what we need them to do. And ours are getting a little bit old and a little bit rough around the edges.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Simon, and good luck tomorrow with that cruise ship and putting on the right hat to go and welcome, all probably the harbour master and the immigration hat that you've got. And we will check in with you, I'm sure, later in your term to see how it's all going. But thanks so much for joining us and answering our listeners' many, many questions about Pitcairn.
You're very welcome, Colin. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much. That's Simon Young, current mayor of Pitcairn.